This is a conversation with Soumya Kapoor, CEO and co-founder of The Loops, an IFS company, with experience at SAP and ServiceNow. With a master in software engineering, Soumya has evolved from tech researcher to startup CEO, focusing on digital workers. I love how she balances innovation with responsibility, redefining what it means to build and manage AI agents, as we explore her vision for how digital workers are reshaping business logic and team dynamics. Very nice to meet you, Soumya. Thank you very much for joining the Humans on AI podcast. I've been checking your journey in AI. You actually have a very interesting journey, that the way that you get into it. I saw that you've got a master's degree in software engineering. So you already were in the tech area, right? Now you're doing you're being the co-founder CEO of The Loops. So I would like to understand, how did you end up doing this, and what's the background of all of this journey?
Yeah, I think the background is I jumped into the enterprise software space at SAP to begin with. And I think I got a very good handle in the area that I was pretty much in research and innovation area, where we were building products that you took from actually 0 to 10 million kind of a thing. So new ideas that were incubated and launched out to the market. So I've been more in that early phase. So you can say it was a startup within SAP itself that I started my journey in the enterprise, but had the cushion of a big brand and customers available. So I think that instinct of being constantly evolving was always there. Right. From there, I moved into ServiceNow. From there, I moved into the startup world, which was my calling. How do you come and build things faster, deliver, see the first proof points with 50 to 100 customers, and then kind of give it to the scale engine to give it? So that was always has been the mindset and the journey. And I've always been a disruptive leader that brings transformation, and that requires a different kind of mind and a rigor to constantly keep talking about things and making people believe in your idea, right? Which traditionally does not happen when you're part of the enterprise software solution. Startup was a natural calling up there. So yeah, it's always been the mindset of question the status quo, not keep questioning for the heck of being questioning and being obnoxious, but question the ways of how we are doing things and be that bridge between technology and business was always where I saw my comfort.
Beautiful. So you and your startup, The Loops, has been backed by top tier VCs. So in your journey as a startup founder now, what do you mean with the top tier VCs? And how was that the process to get all that investments? That they can't believe in you for sure, and how was that process for you?
I think it's very difficult to break into the VC spectrum if you've not shown credibility or you don't come from an area where you build and establish that trust. I had done a startup prior to starting The Loops, so there was some credibility in the execution, because with the VC community, it's very much an early stage startup from a seed standpoint. It's not about the technology per se. It's a trust in the perseverance are you going to have with the money that they're lending out to. We all know how startups are. 90% fail, 10% succeed, and everybody's looking for the outcome. So it's the vision and everything. And they're looking for founders to back founders that have that credibility, because it's not an easy journey. Startup, as rosy as it sounds from being out there, people that have either exited or have gone IPO, depending on the time window that they are in that space, have a lot of wounds to highlight and share. It's a very bell curve, but the only thing that gets you through is your persistence, your grit, and your fundamental belief in what you're trying to do, and map that with agility. Right? Because things change very fast. 10 years ago, the platforms that were there are no longer there anymore. So startups that are 10 year old, if they don't continuously keep evolving technology stacks, mindsets, business models, they won't thrive and survive in the new era as well. It's a very difficult combination where you have to be creative and agile, but you also have the grit and perseverance to make people believe in your idea consistently as well. Yeah, I think someone told me only 5% of people do startups, and those are the crazy people. So it looks like I'm one of those crazy ones.
I guess that it's in a good way to be crazy, I would say, because crazy is, most of the people are like, we get crazy, like something bad. But I think in this case, it's a good thing, because you are doing something good, right? You're trying to solve a problem. That's why kind of startups are for solving complicated, like complicated. Sometimes not that complicated, but most of the times problems. So for what I understood, the Loops is AI agentic platform, right? So talking about building AI agents, I've read just something that you post on social media about building the AI agent. And I want to quote you, okay? So I want to discuss a little bit about this. You said building the AI agent is one thing, but managing is the other. It's supposed to be longer than that, but I just want you to discuss a little bit about this. And what do you mean with that?
Yeah, I think that's true, right? Right now, with code generation and all these aspects, it's very easy to go ahead and build agents with very small teams. But these agents have a mind of their own now. They're not balanced by decision trees in the back end. So having a supervisor or monitoring elements of looking at the whole life cycle becomes super critical. And that's what is required at the enterprise grade level, that it's not that I put an agent out there and then I'm running it through all my sensitive data, but is my data secure, governed? Is it getting trained on the right models that it's training? How is it? What's the audit trail of every response that the agent is doing? Where is it getting stored? How are we monetizing and looking at it? So I think there's various aspects of this agent lifecycle, like we had with Loft software lifecycle, that you have to look at. Building agents, writing, creating an API is relatively, doing CRUD calls to a database is very easy to do. But how do you leverage that in a software development cycle and manage and maintain it becomes a critical aspect of making it enterprise grade ready. And I think that is the elements that you have to think about is as you're deploying these agents, who is monitoring them and how are they getting monitored so they don't become code that is injecting virus in your existing environments.
What do you mean with digital workers? Because this is another, now we're talking about AI agents, right? So you named something and you didn't say it right now, but I want to mention this, that in another one of your posts on social media, you talk about digital workers. Yeah, what does it mean for you digital workers exactly?
Yeah. So let me kind of explain what's happening in the market, right? I think why is everybody kind of seeing the disruption? Right now, the business logic is moving into this agentic layer, right? It's moving into these agents because they have the decision-making power. We are combining softwares because we are no longer limited where this data resides in building these agents that will drive processes, right? Because now these are not just task agents, they're multi-orchestrated agents with complex workflows that can be stitched together to build a lot more of process-related stuff, which solves a business problem, which kind of comes out from an outcome standpoint. So in that context, if you're looking at these things, what is evolving in here is constantly looking at how do you solve a problem? And now a problem from a persona standpoint. So I have giving them a persona and then designing these processes, which are skill-based in their environment, truly can help you articulate the value of what that means. So what we have done at IFS now, since the Loops is bought up, is give it a personification, because they're truly like you're bringing employees within your environment to help them assist to do things, right? As co-workers. And those are digital workers. And what they're essentially doing is they're taking a role. Like in supply chain management, they look at supplier order manager. What does a supplier order manager do in day-to-day task? They actually look at invoices. They upload invoices into system of records. They look at are the parts that are getting put in those invoices or assets have the right conversion rate. They have the right shipping address. They are going to then the order fulfillment after they've reviewed all of this stuff, right? All of this was done manually in the past as a role of a supplier order manager that had to do all of this. Now, moving that to a digital worker and saying, these are the four skills that I come. I sit in your inbox. I'm going to look at every order that comes in. I'm going to do the checks on that order, depending on PDFs, Word documents, you name it. I'm going to load that into IFS Cloud, for instance. I'm going to go check and see which ones don't have the shipping address. And if they don't, I'm going to go ahead and communicate with the customer saying that you missed providing a shipping address. Can you please provide that? And I'm going to learn from every interaction. So it's not that these tasks were not possible. They were automated in the past through RPA systems or decision trees. Now with agents, they're learning with that behavior. So every time for a certain client, I'm missing a shipping address, I got it, I understand it, now I store it. So the next time that invoice is coming in, if it's missing that kind of context, I know where to go find that information, right? If the part conversions need to happen, I go look at systems and see if that is already in place, or if a human provides the input, I learn from that and I check with the human the next time that comes in. So that learning aspect of it really eases. So on day one, I might be giving you 10% efficiency. 6 months down the line, I'm going to give you 40 to 60% efficiency, right? A very simple scenario that I articulated, but each business process can be thought in this way, where there is reinforcement learning getting injected with these agents that is refining that process further enough to keep improving, like a human coming into your environment. That's why these digital workers come and they learn what you're doing. And they improve based on those paradigms. Like any employee that gets onboarded, right? We take time to get onboarded on any job that we are at.
Great. Could you mention any kind of famous company that they're already embracing these digital workers in a big scale?
I would say before we got acquired by IFS, we had a lot of companies using the Loops agentic capabilities and support. We had Bloomreach that was using the auto QA capability where you didn't need to have a QA manager query thousands of your tickets per day. We had Gainsight leveraging its capabilities in using a co-pilot and then using auto QA on top of that. And now we have new companies also using it in an autopilot deflection mode. And with every interaction, they're learning something or the other.
Nice. So talking a little bit about humans and AI, there's a lot of fear around autonomy in AI, right? Like digital workers, AI agents, like everything. At the end of the day, it's different names, but same, doing same things. So how do you think about building trust both with between AI and humans, I would say?
I think it's very, everybody feels, there's a McKinsey study out, which kind of says, 95% of the projects around AI agents are failing, right? That's actually not true. I think people are overly expecting a lot from this thing. The scrutiny that or AI in general is not the level they put on humans. Humans also have equal error rates as well. But the way to approach this in the market is have a very focused scenarios. Don't try to boil the ocean. Don't pick up the most complex scenario that you have in the world to deliver. Deploy this in a very small focused scenario where you can show ROI in 3 months, because then you're buying people. These workers are going to show value irrespective. They're there. If they're not showing it in your environment, they're showing it in someone else. It's not the technology that's the problem. It's actually the change management of it on how you deploy, how you keep it very focused, show tangible benefits, and then keep adding a lot more to that. It's additive. It's not once done a deployment, right? It's not like you're deploying Salesforce environment and then you're done once. They have to be iterative. Like every employee that needs training within an environment and an ongoing basis that needs performance reviews to see how you're performing, these workers do the same thing.
How do you balance yourself as the CEO, the trust and the leadership as well, because you're the main leader in your startup? And how do you balance the trust with your employees, the technology? How do you guys do the things, basically?
Before we got acquired by IFS, we were AI first company. I had a very policy within the organization. We were very lean in execution of the very fact that you tell me if an AI tool can't do that job, then let's go figure out a hire. So we live and breathe. If you ask me, I have tons of tools that I use on my day-to-day, things to use in how we perform and stuff. And that's the kind of culture I've injected within the organization, that they have to try a tool to do their job before they can go ahead and leverage it. Now, in that sense, we're a little bit cognizant on certain areas where we don't put our customer data into these tools. We have some kind of SOC 2 compliances that we look at these tools that are providing before we can inject anything in there. We're very cognizant and looking at more audit trails. There's some sensitive data that we want to be very careful and also make sure that customers' data is not getting jeopardized during this. So there are certain areas that we don't expose that frequently. out there. But in order to do a blog write-up or a AI of video creation and marketing, or to create a quick campaign that you can send it out to customers, those are using AI tools, using tools within our support arena. We do that as well. So we're a little bit sensitive to certain areas and the others where we do take more precautions than the other. So there is more trust build up because we've done some more checks with the vendors that we're bringing in. But on the others, also you want to strike a balance between the two.
Yeah. Soumya, I hear that you are an advocate for women in AI and robotics. In your perspective, what do you think, there's way more men than women in AI and technology and robotics, right? So what is your thoughts about that, for example?
I think we need to encourage more women to get into tech. I am a classical example. I'm a mother too. And I do propone to my daughter, I do go to her school and talk about entrepreneurship. I do talk about science. I do encourage her to do math every day. She probably screams at me. She needs to do 2 pages of math for me. I think it gets lost in our upbringing, some area. And I'm a prime example where I'm so passionate about technology that I can't just get away from it, right? So that's my ask to young women out there, to any women, that don't give it up. If it's your passion, you got to go. It comes with sacrifices. But I think now with the robotics coming in, we might get a lot of help to balance out our household chores, to manage that stuff. But I do encourage a lot of women to get in this space and also be entrepreneurs to get out there. Why the numbers are less than the others is always flummoxing to me, because up until high schools, if you see, girls are doing really well in science and math. Something just pivots when they get into colleges. So we got to encourage it at that level. We have to make it easier for them and getting into workforces as well. I think we have to make people aware of women's style of leadership as opposed to men, which I think has changed a lot drastically in the last decade, but more has to be done. No, there's not enough that can be done around it. So there's all paradigms in the way we think, we approach tactics, we approach things and areas is totally different.
Yeah. So I actually have to say that I like to ask this question to every woman guest that I have, because I also can see it when my podcast, right? Most of my guests are men, which I'm not saying is good, but I'm just kind of wanted to hear your opinion about the tech field, which is most of times we just see men. So thanks for sharing. I appreciate that. Soumya, what's the question about AI you wish more people were asking?
I think we're moving away from a fear to that you need to have it, at least in the enterprise space. I think I wish people were asking more what else I can do with it. Our boundaries are very much limited to the day-to-day interactions or the day-to-day jobs or the exposure that we get to it. But the breadth of capability is a lot more. The potential is massive around this stuff. I heard someone say that we're going to see 10 people organizations hitting $1 billion in ARR, whereas some people are going to see one person company hitting $1 billion in ARR. That's the potential of what this technology is. We're just scraping the ice right now. We're at the edge of using and providing value. But I think people get very much lost in shaping AI to their current processes and not thinking about, oh my God, I have such a powerful tool. How can I go rethink the whole paradigm and the process to fit this AI technology? So I wish people were rethinking everything that they do in their day-to-day world today, because everything is going to change around it.
Yeah, things are changing very fast. Every day.
And I think the other question is the social norms, the impact on society of something like this. I think we need to discuss a lot more around that as well. So those are the two things that I would say.
Great. Is there any innovator or leader that you admire in this new era? It can be in AI or not, but someone that you like to follow and trust as well.
I don't think there's a leader per se, but I have a lot of tools that I love to have. I have Notion. I use Claude on a day-to-day basis. Perplexity is amazing, lifesaver in terms of my research that I'm doing. I like to do Clay for my looking at more outreach that I want to do. I use tools in LinkedIn to do outreaches, as you might be seeing some of the posts up there. I just have a lot of tools that I just love and I commend and I live by, that if you take them away from me, I'll feel like, oh my God, I can't do my job anymore. I have really bought into this AI tool sets, and they've really simplified my life as a CEO to do a lot more beyond that I was used to.
Yeah. Nice. I also use Notion every single day.
Oh yeah. Lifesaver. Oh my God. All my blog posts, not that I'm giving my secrets out there, are rewritten in it. But every response that I have to sometimes do, I go check and see how it would come up with. Perplexity from a research standpoint is a lifesaver right now. I can find things about any keynote in 5 minutes. I can do summarizations. Clay from just prospecting and looking at which other customers are out in the market. It's unbelievable how we lived the world prior to all these tools up there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if we use AI in the right way to help us and empower us, it's great, 100%. Okay, Soumya, I have a very good time. It's been very conversational, and I've learned a lot about your tools and secrets that you could share as well, and about what the loops you guys are doing. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Flor.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.